back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are into the summer, but the summer is almost over. And, you know, it kind of bums me out when I think about that. Kids going back to school and all that stuff, like a Jimmy Buffett song. But it means football's here. And Luke Jones is going to be passing the baseball for the SPF and the hot summer days on the backfields. They make anyone wear a mask out on the backfields? What's the rule out there for offense and defense?
If you are vaccinated at this point, you do not have to wear a mask for practices. And that is very much welcomed after, you know, some of those days last summer where you're wearing a mask and it's 95 degrees and humid in the middle of the day.
I didn't tell you to wear a black mask. You should have worn a white silk mask with breathers in it. But I think that sort of defeated the point. We've talked so much about the offense, right? And wide receiver and the new right side of the line and how many guys they have running the football and who's going to catch the football and who's going to get blamed for it or praised for it. Defense, getting after the quarterback, all of those things. You talk about having a little bit of a heart transplant on the offensive line, certainly with Marshall Yanda. Defensively, the Patrick Queens, the Calais Campbells, the fact that the Matt Judons are the other direction. There's been a lot of coming and going on the defense. There's been a lot of addition, much to your heart. This used to be the time of the year where you would pick on Ozzy about his secondary. They've spent a lot there. There's a lot of questions about this defense. I don't know who the stars are. I don't know who the players are. You know, I know they think a lot about that cornerback, and that's great. But stopping the run and getting after it and Brandon Williams' role and him aging and guys getting into their 30s and who's going to be off on Fridays a lot during the week or off on Wednesdays during the week, there's going to be a lot of that. But defensively, plenty to talk about.
Yeah, there really is. And I think it's really been the theme of the last few years. I mean, I feel like this time of year, going back to even the end of the Terrell Suggs era, we were talking about the pass rush. You know, probably from the time that Elvis Dumervil started to not be the guy that he was his first couple of years with the Ravens. We've talked about the pass rush, and you just mentioned, you know, guys like me talking about the Ravens not having enough cornerback depth 6-7 years ago. That's not the case anymore. Now, what's funny is I think it's really been justified in the sense that, I mean, look, there was one point last year in the Cleveland game where Anthony Levine was playing nickel. You know, they've invested at corner and they've really valued depth at corner, and it's been justified. You know, that concern, that priority has been, you know, kind of it's shown up in the regular season as far as needing that. So I think what's interesting with this defense, though, in talking about the pass rush, you and I have talked about this, and you know me being an analytics nerd, or at least dabbling in analytics nerddom. How about that? One of the big things that's talked about as far as from an analytics standpoint of roster building is on the defensive side of the football is prioritizing coverage before pressure. You want both. Let's be very clear about that. This is not an either or scenario, but when you have a salary cap, when you have a young roster of players that you're going to have to pay an extraordinary amount of money, headlined by your quarterback who, for my money, is going to become the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL second only to Patrick Mahomes. But we'll see how that plays out. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he becomes the highest paid. We know how these things work. The point is, you can't have an all pro high price guy at every single position. So you need to prioritize. And it's very clear that Eric DaCosta has prioritized having a lot at the cornerback position. And even with the Earl Thomas signing that did not work out, and thankfully for the Ravens, Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott have been able to play at a high enough level where the floor has remained high, even if ideally you'd like a little more playmaking ability on the back end. But it's very clear where their defensive dollars have gone. It goes with their secondary and specifically the cornerback position. So that question is going to be, and that philosophy is going to be tested really to its limits this year, the way it's looking, because you waved bye-bye to Matthew Judon and Yannick Ngakoue and Jihad Ward, who I think made up, you know, nearly a third of their sacks. And I think it was roughly a quarter of their quarterback hits last season. So we know they're going to blitz a lot. That will continue. Whether they bring in a Justin Houston type veteran or not at some point between now and week 1 or week 7. But I think it's very clear what this team's going to continue to rely heavily on. It's their coverage on the back end. And then the other area where they've invested money, and you alluded to this mentioning Brandon Williams, I think there is that question as far as Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams, even though they both took a modest cut in pay this offseason, they're still two of the four or five highest cap figures they have on this roster, but they're also on the wrong side of 30. Derek Wolfe also on the wrong side of 30. We saw Campbell and Williams have some injuries the second half of last season. That was a big reason their defense struggled in November, not having them on the field as consistently. So there's that question with the defensive line. Not that I expect those guys to do a ton from a pass rushing standpoint, although you look at guys like Campbell and Wolf, they are those guys that set up other players with the various stunts and blitzes and different things they do up front to deceive an offensive line. But there is that question as far as, will those guys hold up? And I think what's really important for that defensive line is to see some more youth emerge. And we saw that last year. Justin Matabike, I thought, played very well down the stretch last year. And he was looking like a guy that, to me, can not just be a starter, but a guy that could be an above average player in this league. So you want to see him continue to take steps forward. You'd like to see another young guy, whether it's Broderick Washington, you know, someone along those lines, you know, one of the other young defensive linemen they have in camp, you know, an Aaron Crawford who was on the practice squad last year. Does he sneak in and beat out Justin Ellis for a roster spot? Who knows? But the point is, it is a defensive line that you're counting on age, you know, guys to fight off Father Time another year, and specifically with Campbell and Brandon Williams, who are in the last year of their respective contracts. So I expect this defense to, again, be a top 10 defense. And, you know, you mentioned Patrick Queen a little bit earlier. You're looking for some guys like that to take a step forward and kind of become the new young impact players on this defense. But in the meantime, there are those questions that I just mentioned about the pass rush and outside linebacker. And, you know, you got Pernell McPhee and a bunch of young guys at outside linebacker at this point, even Tyus Bowser, who's still only 26 years old. And now you're expecting to be a starter for you. So, yeah, there are some fair questions, but I'll still go back to the analytic piece to this, where if you can cover and you have Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith, and you hope, fingers crossed, Tavon Young staying on the field, but you also have Anthony Averett. Yeah, and I mean, you have, you know, you added Sean Wade in the draft. You have Brandon Stevens, who's going to factor in, whether it's at safety or corner or some kind of hybrid spot. When you have that many guys who can cover, and you hope that most of them stay healthy at least, which I think is a fair expectation, even if Tavon Young and Jimmy Smith, you know, you never really know about those two guys, but you do all those things well, all those other concerns I just mentioned are alleviated a little bit. You know, all those other concerns I just mentioned aren't quite as important as they would be if you only had an average group of corners. I just think you look at how the cap dollars are distributed, how the dollars are distributed on this defense, and, you know, the money that you've given Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters specifically are, you know, hey, we might give up some runs here and there in a pass happy league at this point in time, and we're willing to do that. You know, if it's a passing situation and we're ahead, teams want to run the ball, yeah, we'll give you a 6 yard gain if you're down 17 points in the fourth quarter. Yeah, we'll let you run in those scenarios, but they're going to blitz and they're going to cover really well. And the Ravens are hoping, even with Judon being gone, even with Yannick Ngakoue being gone, even if they don't bring in a veteran player, which I think they still will at some point between now and the start of the season at the edge spot, even if they aren't as great, from a traditional pass rushing standpoint, they're going to cover and they're going to manufacture pressure with those blitzes. And to this point, it's worked against just about everyone but one team over the last couple of years. And it's the team everyone else in the AFC is chasing as well. It's Kansas City. So we'll see how that plays out. And if Adafe Owe can look like Terrell Suggs looked as a rookie, which was a guy that was in the defensive rookie of the year, if he can at least be in that conversation in the way that Terrell Suggs won that, then great. Your pass rush will look better and you'll still do the things you did. Well, I was going
to say, on the pass rush side, aren't we really expecting more scheme than dream? Yeah. Yeah. We're not expecting...
We're designed to do that, right.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's designed to get 15 sacks in this defense in the same way that nobody's going to catch 90 balls.
Well, Well, and look, in a perfect world, Adafe Owe will become that guy. I mean, that's why they took him in the first round, despite the fact that he had zero sacks at Penn State last year. You know, they think, one, it was seven games. There's volatility with sacks. You know, that there have been guys that you can look at, you know, whether you're talking about former Ravens players, but certainly around the league, you can look at a guy that is set up and kind of has that dream year. It's like that pitcher who gets the best run support, right? And he wins 16 games, even though his ERA is, you know, 4-1, you know, I mean, it doesn't really match up, but you get that run support in the same way that you can have guys because of scheme, because of their teammates, you can have guys that can have a 12 sack season, but not really be truly that 12 sack player that, you know, that reputation that comes with that. On the flip side, you can have guys who only have 4 or 5 sacks, but boy, they have a ton of pressures. They have a ton of quarterback hits. They lead to opposing offensive lines having to do different things that are going to set up some of your teammates. So, you know, the truth lies somewhere in the middle, because we've heard Wink Martindale and John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta all speak at different points over the last couple of years as far as sacks, just looking at raw sack numbers and saying, that's a little overrated. Well, sacks are important, but the point is they don't tell the whole picture. In the same way that we've talked about pitchers with wins, right? They might tell you something, but they're not going to give you the whole picture by any stretch of the imagination. That's where sacks are, to a not the same extent, because sacks are certainly more valuable than just arbitrarily talking about a pitcher's win-loss record. But yeah, you just said it. They're going to manufacture pressure. You know, even if they had brought in a Jadeveon Clowney, they were still going to blitz a whole lot this year, because that's what Wink Martindale does. It's the Rex Ryan family, you know, him being a pupil of the Rex Ryan family. He wants to do that. So it's going to be tested a little more this year when you're talking about losing two more former Pro Bowl outside linebackers, but we're going to see how it works out. And I think one thing that, if you are concerned about the pass rush as a Ravens fan, and I can understand you feeling that way, where you do take a little bit of solace, where you do exhale a little bit, is look at the fact that Eric DaCosta, each of the last 2 years, has added something of note at the trade deadline, which, you know, something that in football used to be unheard of, not just for the Ravens, but for any team. But we've seen that become much more active. And if they need it, if it's apparent come late October that they need an edge defender, that they need an edge rusher, they need more juice for that pass rush, I'd say that there's a very reasonable chance the Ravens will add that. Now, Yannick Ngakoue, did it end up working out to the degree that they hoped? No, but they're going to end up getting a really attractive comp pick for him, signing with the Raiders, and they move on. And you know, you basically make up for that draft pick you surrendered in the process. So it's how this works. But their identity is exactly what you just said. They're going to cover, and they're going to really take a lot of pride in their coverage and play a lot of man. And that's going to allow them to have numbers up front and to scheme pressure. And as I said, it's worked really, really, this philosophy has worked incredibly well against everyone but Kansas City. Guess what? No one's really shown solutions against Kansas City other than Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl this past year. Now,
they didn't have their tackle.
well, there's that. And everyone will say, well, look at their 4-man rush. I'd say, yeah, look at it. Look at what they've invested in it. So, and it's not, those guys don't grow on trees. And that was part of the rationale of not paying Matthew Judon what he ultimately got from New England, or not paying Ngakoue what he got from the Raiders, was the Ravens looked at those guys and said, you know what? They're good players. We cannot afford to pay them like they're great players. And that's always been the principle here. And you always have to, with the salary cap, you always have to make those concessions somewhere. And that's where they've done it the last few years. I mean, look at the last 3 off seasons, who's walked out the door. Terrell Suggs, which I get it, he was toward the end of his, very end of his career. Za'Darius Smith, who's been a Pro Bowl player for the Green Bay Packers. They've let Judon out the door now. They've let Ngakoue out the door now. I mean, I think it's very clear. And the one guy they kept was Tyus Bowser, who has been a backup and a rotational guy. Now, they think Tyus Bowser at $5 million a year for what he does and dropping into coverage, playing the run pretty well, which he did improve a lot setting the edge this past year, they think that's a better value than paying one of these other guys these expensive, big-time, 8-figure contracts. But still, those guys were still relying on scheme to get them to the quarterback. Now, I mean, Matthew Judon, Pro Football Focus has talked about the last couple of years, he might more than anybody have more sacks than anyone that were either a situation where he wasn't blocked or came on a blitz and no one picked him up, or, you know, the situations where basically he's a free runner. So it's all about trying to create those situations. So their philosophy, and again, if there's no salary cap, I'm guessing Judon's back in Baltimore and playing for them still, but there is a salary cap. So again, you have to make those concessions. You have to prioritize. And it's very clear over the last 3 years, they prioritize their secondary and, you know, their interior defensive line a little bit here to clean up their run defense that was leaky 2 years ago. And they've decided they're going to try to scheme pressure. It will be fascinating to see how that plays out this year, knowing that they're basically, they're kind of testing that to the limits, right? I mean, when you look at their group, you have a 32-year-old Pernell McPhee. You have a Tyus Bowser who's stepping into a starting role, but has never played more than, I think, 500 snaps roughly is about the most he's played in a season. You know, he's been a rotational guy. And then you have Jalen Ferguson, who was a healthy scratch at the end of last year. And you have Adafe Owe and Dalen Hayes, who are rookies. And neither of those guys were high-profile pass rush producers in college. So you really do have a group that's young, and there's some upside certainly with Owe. You know, when you look at the physical freak that he is and the size that he has and the athleticism, but there's not a whole lot to really point to from a pass rush standpoint and say, yeah, we can depend on that guy. Because even a guy like McPhee, at his age and his injury history, you're hoping just to be able to manage his snaps he'll probably start at least at the beginning of the year, but he's still a guy that ideally is not playing much more than maybe 25 or 30 snaps a game. If he's playing more than that, chances are he's going to wear down. So they are really taking this analytics approach of coverage before pressure, secondary before edge guys, and they're really pushing it to its limits. So it'll be fascinating. I think plenty of people in the football analytics community are going to be really interested to see how that looks. As much as they've been fascinated with what the Ravens have done offensively, I do think this defensive roster building approach, I think teams are going to be interested to see that. And again, I want to be very clear. This isn't me saying that pass rushers don't matter. It's the Ravens making this decision that if we have to choose one or the other, we want Pro Bowl caliber corners, and we feel we can scheme pressure, and we'll see if they can do it once again this year, as they've done pretty well the last couple of years, other than when, yes, they run into the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, we will be talking a lot about the defense, the offense, the special teams, every team, all during August, getting you ready for kickoff in Vegas, no less. Could be good times. Luke Jones can be found, Baltimore Luke, out on Twitter, Facebook, and on the backfields wearing appropriate SPF. I'll be wearing appropriate netting as I do my Smith Island cake tour next month, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, all brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. I don't have any Western fries I'm going to have, but it is Chicken Palooza out there. Make sure you're picking up your chicken boxes as well. And for all of our sponsors, big appreciation for putting us on the road all next month. Luke will be in Owings Mills. You can follow everything we're doing at WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.